Hey, this is Brian from your friendly neighborhood Infamous podcast, and we have a deal for you. If you go to comixology.com right now and spend $15, when you check out, use the code Infamous and you get $5 off. That's right. When you spend $15 on comics at comixology.com, you get $5 off when you use the code Infamous. So go help out the show and your friends at the Infamous podcast and get some digital comics. You're welcome. Hey, welcome back to the Infamous Podcast. This is Brian.
This is Johnny.
And this is episode 143. Are you ready?
I'm stuffed up.
Are you ready?
I'm stuffed up.
Never mind. All right, so...
You don't do it right. You're like, are you ready?
Well, I didn't want to yell.
Well, I didn't yell.
I don't know.
I spiked like it, yell. But I didn't
you did
yell.
Totally, you didn't like totally spike it. But anywho... All right, so this week we
are... I don't
even
remember that full speech like that he would do.
Which one? Mike, are you talking about Mike Buffer?
Yeah.
Well, it was Bruce Buffer. No, Bruce Buffer is from UFC.
Okay.
Michael Buffer.
Yeah, Michael Buffer.
Are you ready? Let's get ready to podcast.
Yeah, there you go. You should have had me record that beforehand without your earphones on so I wouldn't blow your ears out.
I think though you're too stuffed up and you would have started going
now what to say, let's get ready to podcast. There you go.
You sounded like Oprah there. You get a podcast.
She has a different tone of voice.
All right, so this week
don't talk about Ann Oprah like that.
All right, so this week we're going to talk about the Andre the Giant documentary on HBO, just briefly, not a whole lot. And then you have a particular topic.
The infamous essentials?
Yeah. Oh, I like that. The infamous essentials.
That's right.
So this is your essential MCU
what did you
movie
keep yours
to watch.
On there too?
I just kept the five that you sent me, but...
Oh, no, I sent you the...
Oh,
I
you sent
you
me a whole eight.
Yeah. I took yours and added one more on. So it's the essential eight movies that you should watch.
So we'll get to that, but I have an essential five that is most of them are on here.
Yeah, yours are all on there.
Yeah.
I asked him what five Avengers movies or five Marvel Cinematic movies you should see before Infinity War, and I have five.
Right.
Which we crossed over on most of them, and I just put them all on one list.
So you have one on here that I'm gonna talk about why I don't think it needs to be on there, but... Anyway, let's talk about Andre the Giant first.
You go to hell.
All right. I will. Right after we're done here.
Give me a table, a ladder, and a chair right now.
Oh, my. So it's, should it be like...
Or should I just do Andre and be like, get out?
Well, I was going to say you should be like, Haley, get the table.
Yeah. We got the table.
So.
I just need a fold-out chair and a ladder.
You're sitting on a fold-out chair.
Well, there we go then. So no, I need a straight-up fold-out metal chair.
Hey, I feel like I provide a comfortable chair for you to
sit
in.
I'll run home and get my fold-out metal chair.
There you go.
I come running out of the front door sometimes with that chair in my hand and just be like, oh my God, it's going to be a slobber knocker.
Oh my God, King. All right, so you watched this before I did, which was kind of a shock.
I think probably to both of us. No, it wasn't a shock for me because we seen the preview for it and we were like waiting for that day to happen.
I had to wait for Angel to want to
watch
it.
Well, it played on HBO at 10 o'clock. It premiered.
Right.
And so we had to wait until the next day.
Yeah.
And I was literally throwing tables, ladders, and chairs because
you
I was
don't
like,
have to
I
wait
want to watch
till
it.
The next day on HBO now.
Well, she went to bed. I couldn't watch it. She wanted to watch it.
Okay.
So. She's a fan of the 80s.
Did you ever
WWF.
Get to see him wrestle?
Not in person.
Okay, so we went to a house show at when it was called the Coliseum, that's now the U.S. Bank Arena. And he was so massive. Like, I feel so lucky that I got to see him wrestle.
All right.
And I remember he wrestled Hillbilly Jim.
Okay.
And that was such a cool
match. Hillbilly
Jim
was a big guy, too.
Yeah, but he made Hillbilly Jim look small.
All right.
So, all right. So this was put on HBO. It was from Bill Simmons in the Ringer media group that he runs in partnership with HBO.
Okay.
So Bill Simmons, he's the sports guy. He was an ESPN writer.
He does the HBO sports documentaries, doesn't he?
He's starting to. Right. He's best known in the documentary world
for the 30 for 30.
Okay.
So like they did the Ric Flair, the OJ.
Yeah, I watched a bunch.
You know, the Bad Boys from the Detroit Pistons, right, and all that stuff.
They did the Oakland thing when the, yeah, earthquake happened. And
you know, the Fab Five with Michigan, right, and the timeout. So anyway,
I'm not a sports fan, but I like to watch sports documentaries.
Sure.
Because I find them fascinating.
It's all about the story. You know, you get to see all the flavor that goes in.
I don't care about watching a sports event.
Yeah.
But I like to watch the documentaries from sports events.
See, I like to do both. Yeah. So, this was a fantastic just documentary. Never mind sports documentary. So I listened to Bill's podcast.
Okay.
It's one of the few I still kind of regularly listen to.
Okay.
And mainly because it touches on, like, it's the only way I get to follow the NBA.
Oh, all right.
I'm not allowed to watch the NBA at home or else I get lots of complaints.
Do you get angry or something?
No, they just don't want to watch basketball. Oh, okay. They're like, I don't want to watch college basketball.
There's
let
two
alone
TVs
the bro.
In this house.
I know, they can go upstairs.
Right.
Anyway. So this they did a really cool thing following him from France.
Yeah,
the early
that was
years,
the thing I
which
was,
we hadn't seen a
I
lot of.
I didn't know that he was from France.
Oh, you didn't?
No. I thought he was like from like more Germany, Belgium area.
Oh, okay.
And I always thought that because I could never get the accent down as to what it was.
Yeah.
And then when they showed his brothers, like, you know, speaking French, right, obviously, because they don't speak English. And I was like, that accent totally like sounds French now, mm-hmm, to me. And I'm like, why did I never catch that before? And
I don't
it's
know.
Because of the way his tongue,
right,
and all that. Cause, like, you know, they said that.
Well, it's just called giantism.
Right.
It's what he had.
Yeah.
Which I knew. So I knew a lot of this. I hadn't
seen
this stuff.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there was. But the stuff I didn't know was like the Randy Savage stuff.
That they hated
which
each
I
other.
Was like, I'm like, where did that come from?
So the Macho Man is one of my top 10 favorites. Like,
yeah.
Andre's in my top 20.
Right.
You know, but like, I loved Macho. And I do a decent Macho Man,
right,
imitation. But, to hear Hogan talk about how much
to
Andre
hear Hogan
hated
imitate Macho Man,
yeah,
and do it with the whisper voice,
yeah,
and not the like full on Macho,
right,
Man.
Right.
I was like, man, Hogan does a really good Macho
Man. I mean,
Man,
they were the superpowers, man.
Well, right.
So, or mega powers, whatever. No, yeah, it was mega powers. Anyway, it was so cool to see the stuff about Andre, to learn. I didn't know he had a daughter.
Oh yeah, that was
so.
I'm like, what? Wait, what?
I don't know if you know this. He was really close with Stephanie McMahon.
No, I didn't know that.
So, like, Stephanie and Andre were, like, buddies when,
okay,
she was a little
she
girl.
She was a little girl.
And on Bill Simmons' podcast, they were talking about the documentary. And I guess they shot a ton of stuff with Stephanie that was great. But it didn't do justice to his daughter,
okay,
as the absentee father.
Right.
It was like, so you come out thinking, well, why is he like taking a shine to this little girl and,
right,
like being her friend and, you know, caring for her?
Yeah.
But only sees his own daughter like six times a year, if that. So,
wow. That, you know, it's understandable if the mother didn't want.
Well, they never got into that.
It kind
you know?
Of the way it kind of was alluded to is like one of those things like I guess the best comparison, and it's going to be the nerd comparison, is when Captain Kirk meets his son for the first time.
Right.
She did, the mother, Carol Marcus,
right,
didn't want him to be in his life because he would become like him.
Well, he didn't even know, right?
He didn't know.
David
well,
didn't
no,
know.
No, David didn't know,
right,
that was his father.
Right.
And that at least she knew her dad.
Right.
And that, but it was that comparison where it's like, she didn't want her to be involved in that.
That world.
That world. Because that world was still a seamy kind of world back
then. Still, I mean, it still is. It eats,
oh, yeah,
it,
yeah,
eats people up and,
oh,
and spits,
yeah,
them out.
I mean, look at Jake the Snake.
At least
that
he's...
Well, that documentary was just,
yeah,
sad. So
I did like seeing Jake in the document, mm-hmm, like, you know, wrestling. I wish they would have talked to him, but...
Yeah. I think they got who they needed to get.
So
Hogan and him were very close. So
here was
like...
the thing for me was Vince.
Oh, man.
Watching him tear up.
Yep.
And we were texting back and forth when I started, and you were like, oh, it's going to get dusty in your house. It never,
yeah,
did.
Yeah.
Not because it wasn't, like, sad or anything,
right,
like,
yeah,
that, but, like, for me, seeing Vince McMahon.
That was surprising.
That raw.
Yeah.
Like, pun not intended, but, you know, really talking about.
Well,
how,
now that you say the thing about Stephanie, it,
yeah,
makes more sense.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, obviously that's his daughter, and Yandere was, you know, like a second father, an uncle or whatever.
A funcle like you are?
Yeah, well, you know. But, I mean, that's the thing is, like, you know, seeing Vince like that, because you don't see him like that. It's like one of those things where you're like, okay, this guy really did make an impression on people.
Well, he's usually like, you know, Mr. McMahon with the quotes there. You know, the, you're fired.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was really cool. And to hear him talk about how they had the falling out.
Yep.
And, you know, at the end, they weren't close.
Right.
And when they said, well, do you remember the last time you spoke to me? He goes, no, I try not to think about the negative things in my life. So, you know, their last conversation was not good.
Was not positive, right.
But, yeah, I like that he left his, you know, estate to his daughter. And the different things like that.
I found the Princess Bride stuff interesting because I knew some of that.
So there's a funny story with Robin Wright Penn, Robin Wright, when she came in to be interviewed.
Yeah.
She thought they were doing a Princess Bride documentary.
Right.
Not about Andre.
Oh.
So the like couple minutes that you see, like that was all they put everything that they filmed with her in the movie.
Yeah.
So I was
Well, I mean, there's a documentary on the one of the Princess Bride, like Blu-ray DVDs. It's probably from the DVD, but it's on the Blu-ray. Where it was the behind the scenes, and it was all stuff that Cary Elwes had shot.
They talked about his arms.
Well,
and
they
of stuff. Yeah.
Showed him drinking, like him drunk, and it was like, you know, yeah, I knew a lot of that, but the way that they were talking about him knowing that he was going to die, like, you know, that he wasn't going to live long.
He was only 46.
And I mean, Billy Crystal and Rob Reiner, it was like, that was great because they were just like, you know. Yeah, he was a good guy, but he knew he was going to die, and you could tell he was kind of sad.
Yeah, absolutely. And the reverence that cast had for him was great.
I would have liked them to get Mandy Patinkin because he worked
so close with him.
Yeah. You know, but, you know, who knows?
Wallace Shawn.
Yeah.
You know, at the that would have been cool. The Cary Elwes stuff, and I don't know if it's just my...
They hung out a lot out behind the scenes.
And it's just... I think I look at Cary Elwes a lot of ways just kind of off, like kind of scummy almost. Like I don't know him, and it's not like I'm saying he's a bad person or anything that, but like he just comes across as like his character from Days of Thunder.
Maybe.
Like I'm
like
not...
he's a cross between his character from Days of Thunder and his character from Kiss the Girls.
Sure.
Yeah.
Or Saw.
Yeah.
And so when he's talking, like, I felt myself kind of, like, zoning out listening to him because it's almost like I didn't believe anything he was saying.
But it's all stuff that was on his
documentary. You're right. And you're absolutely right. And it's all stuff that can be corroborated.
I think it's just because he's kind of stiff in his deliverance of it. And it didn't feel, like, emotional. But I think he was holding back a lot, too.
Well, I also think the massive amounts of Botox kept him from actually moving his face in a way to show an emotion.
Right, so. But I think that because they were close, he was, you know, holding back stuff. And that, you know, obviously, like Vince getting emotional. Hogan, I mean.
I will say this.
It's not like we've seen Hogan cry before.
Cary has a fantastic head of hair.
Yeah.
Like, that's.
Yeah.
That's a good head of hair he has there. Yeah, I want to talk about Hogan in a minute. Arnold Schwarzenegger was awesome.
Yeah.
Just the little bit that they had him, and it was such a funny story.
Just the story. Just the personal stories were, like, the best parts of that because it was that, you know, just talking about who he was.
Right.
And it's like, you know, we know who he was as a wrestler, but him as a man, it's just, like, you know.
Yeah, who Andre, you know, Andre Rozumov was.
When he talks about picking up Arnold Schwarzenegger and putting him on the wall, I'm like, yeah, he could do that.
And then freaking Ric Flair.
Oh, yeah.
He has a 24, he wears a size 24 ring and wears a size 22 shoe. Woohoo! So, because that was one of the things that they talked about on Bill's podcast is, like, Andre's sex life.
Yeah.
Like, not a lot of people knew anything about that. Like, was he?
Yeah.
You know, engorged. Was he?
Well, I'm sure he was.
I mean, he was a big dude, big all over. But, I mean, you saw his hands, right?
Right, yeah.
But, like, how would a normal...
When he put
how would he sleep
mean
with
Jean's
a normal...
face, I'm like, yeah. You know.
But how would he sleep with a normal girl? Like, it's so weird.
Obviously, he did.
Oh, well, yeah, very much.
You know, there's a child to prove that.
But so Ric Flair was great. The person that I was really, really surprised about and who I didn't know a whole lot about was Tim White.
Yeah.
His
right,
his
yeah.
manager or assistant or whatever you want to call
him. I would
have
called him his
friend.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, oh, more yeah. than anything. That was the thing that got closest to kind of getting me.
Yeah.
Is at the end when he was like, I wasn't there for yeah. him. I loved him. I, you know, we knew this was going to end. And
oh, yeah.
I mean, because
yeah.
they spent 20 years on the road together.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, that was interesting. The stuff with the people that were taking care of his property.
Yep. Oh, that family.
Yeah. So. That was just all interesting.
And that was his family. Those yeah. people who took care of his ranch. That yep. was his family at the end of the day. And you know, the wrestlers. But if you have not watched this, it is definitely something to go watch.
Oh, it's worth a watch.
It's I mean, it's just over an hour and a half.
Yeah, it's
it
not...
doesn't feel like an hour and a half. And at the end of the day, it was something really cool to watch.
Yeah, it was one of the better wrestling documentaries I've watched.
I've watched quite a few wrestling documentaries, and I will agree with that.
Yeah, I've seen a couple. But now we started the Elvis documentary that's yeah. on there. Kind of the same yeah. feel to it.
Interesting.
Except they're using more footage like of his life.
Oh, okay.
And that, but they're talking to everybody who's still alive that, wow. you know, worked and lived with him.
Cool.
So.
Very, very cool.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get to our main topic.
Sure.
Of the day, evening, morning, night, weekend, whenever you're listening. So you put together an essential, well, I mean, I guess technically we put together.
Yeah.
But you put together the list of essential MCU movies to watch before Infinity War.
Yep.
And this stems from a text from Kenny that we both received.
Yeah.
About the three that you would pick.
Yeah, which was a post, I guess.
Online. Yeah, that was something that somebody shared. And then right. you sent me a text saying, hey, what are your five?
Because I think three is BS.
I don't think three is enough.
Yeah.
I think eight is maybe too much.
Eight is enough.
So
it's this. It's this idea that people at the beginning of the year were like, watch them all once a week.
Right.
You know, there's eight you can watch right before Infinity War and you're fine. That's so, 16 hours. That's a weekend.
So my five are all in here, right?
Oh, yeah. Here's
so it's the my five, and we'll get to the larger list. But I think the five that you absolutely have to watch are The Avengers, The Age of Ultron, Guardians of the Galaxy, Civil War, and Ragnarok.
Yeah.
I think the other two you can,
but you,
we could.
You didn't put that on your original list.
No, and I've rethought right. that. Like, I've been I've essentially been thinking
why
about
Ragnarok,
this nonstop.
Though?
Okay. So Ragnarok is. I'm trying to think of how to explain this the best way. Ragnarok shows how you all have to band together to defeat this. And I think a lot of the stuff with Odin.
Yeah.
Is foreshadowing to what's going to happen to Earth.
Okay.
So it's just, plus I think of every movie on this list, Ragnarok is probably the most fun movie to watch out of all of them. And I think it's a great note to go out on. And it could technically be considered like, I mean, it's not the last, but also you get to see more of Hulk and Thor. And so you'll understand where they're coming
where
from.
They're at.
Whereas the last movie that you have on this list, well, do you want to just say the full list?
Yeah, I'll go through the whole
okay.
list. The first one's Captain America: First Avenger. I did this in yeah. order of
chronological.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I got everything right. So Captain America: The First Avenger for the Tesseract.
Mm-hmm.
The Avengers for pretty much everything that's set up.
Right.
Thor Dark World or the Dark World.
Right.
For the next of the Infinities, the Ether.
Correct.
And then Avengers Age of Ultron because it's set up too.
Right.
And then Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1 because it also has an Infinity Gem and Thanos in
it. But it also explains we're all about.
Well, yeah.
It
yeah,
shows
it gives
all
you
six.
It gives you the history that you need. Captain America Civil War because it gives you the idea of where everybody is by the end of that movie.
Right.
Thor Ragnarok because pretty much the same thing. It's a setup.
Well, there's the other thing too, is at the Age of Ultron, he hammers away to go in search of Infinity Stones.
Well, right, yeah.
Cause when
Age of Ultron's all a setup movie.
Right.
I mean, literally, it's a setup movie. You know, the Russo brothers conveyed better what happened than Joss Whedon did.
Yeah, and we'll definitely
get
more into that. Okay, and then the last one.
Black Panther.
Okay. And I understand why you put Black Panther on this, but hear me out why I think you shouldn't.
Okay.
Well, one, I think you can take Thor the Dark World off, even though we both enjoyed the film. I think the
I think you can take Thor the Dark World off.
But I think you can show those five, and people, if you haven't seen anything about it.
Yeah.
Now, I think if you want a refresher, then you make it six and you keep Thor the Dark World on. Black Panther, to me, is akin to Iron Man and Ant-Man, where it's a very much standalone movie in its own little part of the universe.
It is.
And I think Civil War did a good enough job setting up Wakanda and Black Panther as a character.
But they didn't. Because the armies of Wakanda that are being shown in the previews,
and I understand,
you get more of that.
I understand
the vibranium.
But we're also going to get probably 15 to 22 minutes of Wakanda exposition.
Oh, yeah.
At the beginning of Infinity War, which is about 2 hours. It's about the same time,
but
same runtime.
I didn't put it on the list because of the army and all that stuff. I put it on the list because of the vibranium. At the beginning of Black Panther, it's in space, and the vibranium comes to Earth.
Right.
Which means there's a reason why Thanos is attacking Wakanda. So I'm
not disagreeing with you, like, just kind of understand that. But I also think that they didn't show us anything that there's an Infinity Stone anywhere.
That you know of.
That we know of. But I'm saying, like, Black Panther doesn't do anything to continue that story.
Yeah.
And then the stuff with, spoilers, obviously, the stuff with Bucky is an end credit scene, so it's not even part of the movie.
But Shuri is obviously a major part of Infinity War.
Well, and they're going to introduce Shuri in Infinity War for whom what she is.
Yeah.
So I just think that's one. I think if you're doing five, right, you take those, you take Thor and Black Panther.
But everybody, why limit to five?
Well, I'm just saying, like, you know, I mean, the five, because five is 13 hours a movie.
Yeah.
To watch, and not everybody has that kind of time. I mean, you put two more in here, and you're looking at, you know, close to 18 hours.
Yeah.
When you add all the
runtime. Why would I put 10 in?
Well, then you're looking
The thing is, everyone that I picked has a reason that ties to Infinity War.
And I definitely agree with all of your reasonings and all of this.
Right.
I'm just making an argument that I think five is enough.
Yeah.
And, you know, you kind of get on me, you know, when I do my honorable mentions and stuff like that.
Well,
with our best
that's
list.
The thing is I'm but not doing
I kind of feel like Dark World and Black Panther are best, are, you know, honorable mentions to watch. But
Dark World shows the power of a stone before any other stones were shown. I mean, the stone in First Avengers is not used to its full potential.
Sure.
The Dark World shows what happens when a stone is used to its full potential.
Yeah.
And that it shows that it's got a defensive mechanism that, you know, because there are certain points where when they try to do stuff to Jane and she's got the ether in her,
right,
that they get blown backwards. And so, you know, it doesn't have anything to do with Malekith or anything. It's just because of the ether, the stone being there. That's the reason why that one's on this list.
I think at the same time, though, if you take all the bits where they've shown like Infinity Stones and really talked about Infinity Stones throughout the entire MCU,
yeah,
we're looking at less than 40 minutes of screen time.
Well, sure.
So,
but that's where you go on YouTube and just look up,
right,
you know,
but
MCU Infinity
Stones. And honestly, if you had to pick one movie to watch before going in, I say Guardians.
No.
Because it's the most Thanos you see in any.
Well, you don't need to see that much Thanos, though.
But you just made the argument that you needed to see Wakanda, and I'm making the argument that you don't.
Why do you need to see Thanos, though?
He's a big purple bad guy. Kind of want to know a little bit about him, don't you?
Well, you don't find out anything about him, though.
You know, he had two daughters, and he made them fight.
Yeah.
You know, he's after the Infinity Stones.
That's the one movie you would pick to watch?
I think so.
I don't think.
What would you pick?
If there was just the first one. Avengers.
And I can make the argument for that one, too. Yeah. I mean, I don't disagree with that.
I mean,
that.
Just because of the thing with Loki and Thanos you know, and that's going to be played in this movie.
Yeah.
Plus the whole thing with the invasion.
Yeah.
Obviously, he had to go get a new army because he doesn't have the Chitauri. So that's showing up, too. Those aliens look a little crazy.
He found the nuclear vessels and got rid of them.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think this is a great list. And to be honest, in the last month, I've watched... Well, since Black Panther came out, I've watched everything but the Avengers on this list.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah. Fair enough. I haven't watched anything on this list in a while except Age of Ultron yesterday.
Well, you saw Black Panther not too long ago. I mean,
well, when it came out.
But
and it'll be out in May.
Yeah, after.
Yeah,
Infinity War.
I mean, it's going to be released in May. I did watch Civil War recently.
Civil War's it's a really good movie, and I think you're right.
Should have been called the Avengers Civil War. It shouldn't have been called Captain America.
Avengers 2.5 or whatever.
Should have just been the Avengers. They don't have numbers. I mean, none of these have numbers except Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, and that's just volume one and two because they're making a play on the mixtape idea.
Right. Yeah.
So, no, I think you're right.
If I was gonna go like slim this list down, to four.
Okay.
Captain America.
First Avenger, Captain America.
Yeah. Okay. The First Avenger. The Avengers. Avengers Age of Ultron. And Civil War.
Okay.
I will leave Guardians of the Galaxy out just because, you know, you don't need a whole explanation of the Infinity Gems because you're going to get it in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
But just to see where everybody is and why they're there, you know, we don't need to see why the Guardians are where they are because... It's what, 2 years after, 3 years after the last Guardians of the Galaxy movie that we're going to see them.
Right.
So there's a lot of stuff that's going to happen between then and there.
Sure.
That volume three could be a story before Infinity War or a story after Infinity War.
Okay. So I know Guardians did
when
well.
When Spider-Man's part of the Guardians of the Galaxy. Doctor Strange. And
so I know Guardians did well in the box office.
Yeah.
And Guardians 2 did well, not better.
Yeah.
I'm curious as to how many people coming into Infinity War are going to be experiencing the Guardians for the first time.
I don't think as many as you would
think. I don't think it's a huge number.
No.
But I really want to talk to one of those people to see, hey, what did you think of the Guardians in this movie, and why didn't you go see, like, what was it about their standalone films that made
you
uninterested?
How many people are there that have not seen all these movies?
Well, like my friend Ty.
Yeah.
Like, they haven't seen, on this list, they've only seen The Avengers and Age of Ultron.
And why?
Well, they're not really movie people.
Okay.
So, well, but they like the MCU stuff that they've seen, they like, but they also, you know, he and his wife, when they go to movies, it's more like a date thing. So they end up going to like romantic comedies and stuff like that.
Okay. But Ty hasn't seen these movies on
his
own?
Not that there's anything wrong with that. No, he's. Yeah, no.
Okay.
Anyway. You know, I've let him borrow stuff and send him digital files and that sort of thing. But at the end of the day, like, he's seen Deadpool.
Okay.
Because I gave him the iTunes code for the free one I gave you. But at the end of the day, I think there are people who have not seen all of them.
Right.
Who are going to go see this one.
Bandwagoners.
I disagree.
Some of them are bandwagoners. There's the bandwagoners that are like, oh, this is going to be the biggest movie of the year. We got to go see it.
Yeah, there'll be a bit.
There's a percentage of that.
But so Kenny and I were talking.
I'm just confused if there's somebody besides people who aren't movie fans like at all,
right?
That haven't seen one movie on this list.
You know, I don't even think, like, the DC fanboys who hate on the MCU haven't seen these. I think they've seen all of these probably multiple times. So,
well, they've seen Age of Ultron, but worst if they've seen Justice League.
All right. Can you explain that to me?
It's the same movie. Steppenwolf is setting up the same game that Ultron was setting up to destroy the Earth.
Okay.
And nobody knew about it. Until they get to where, you know, where they're supposed to be. Sokovia, Russia, whatever you want to say. Steppenwolf is the cheaper, worse version of Ultron. Ultron is a superior villain in his movie and would have been a superior villain in Justice League to what Steppenwolf was.
So real quick, one thing about Steppenwolf on Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
In the finale, there's a big CGI creature.
Okay.
Better CGI than
better
Steppenwolf.
CGI than Steppenwolf.
Anywho. All right. So I think motivation wise, they're similar.
Yeah.
But different.
There's similarities and there's differences, and it's just one of those things where it's like, because Joss Whedon touched them both, that's where the similarities are closer than not. Because I was literally sitting there watching Age of Ultron, and I'm like, man, some of these beats are just the same beats that were, you know. And if you watch Avengers and watch Age of Ultron, there you have different beats.
Yeah.
And it's Age of Ultron is closer to Justice League than the first Avengers was.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So I think part of that is the first time around with the Avengers.
Yeah.
Favreau was involved.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Feige, he was an executive producer on this. But it's one of those things where it's like nobody reeled in Joss Whedon, I think.
With Avengers, yes.
Yeah.
I think with Age of Ultron, no. They were like, oh, well, your movie made...
Go ahead. You made money on the first one.
You made
$1.5 billion.
Have at it.
So there's certain things in that movie. Ultron still bothers me. You know, and I haven't watched it in 2 years, I think, when I watched it yesterday. And it was just one of those things where I was like, am I not giving this movie enough of a chance? So I was like, I'll watch it.
You're giving it the chance that it needs.
So Ultron in this is a decent enough villain, mm-hmm. but not the villain he should have been.
Right.
He should have been more Borg, mm-hmm. more focused,
yep.
more, you know, less emotional. But the problem was the Ultron in this movie is Tony Stark mirror universe.
He's Pinocchio Tony Stark.
Right. He's the bad Tony yeah. Stark. And well, in the Stark comic books, the Ultron Tony was Stark. Hank Pym's creation.
And he was all the worst parts of Hank Pym.
It was the worst parts of Hank Pym, but it was also the child of Hank Pym, yeah. where he was like, he wanted to make his father proud.
Right. But he also had Hank Pym's intellect
right.
and that sort of thing. And they didn't give that to Ultron.
Right.
They didn't give him Tony's intellect.
Right.
They gave him Tony's sarcasm.
Yeah, the ego.
I think the other problem, I think the biggest problem with Age of Ultron is Joss Whedon for all the feminist icon stuff that goes
right.
with him and how well he wrote Buffy.
Right.
He has a really hard time. writing a balanced male character.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if you look at the male characters like he typically has, like Xander was
an emotional wreck,
hot or cold.
Yeah.
Malcolm Reynolds, hot or cold, right? Like there's no consistency to what these characters do or feel or like even like Malcolm has the code that he
right.
that he follows,
yeah.
but at the end of the day, it's like the pirate code. It's more of a guideline.
Right.
And I think he does. He writes.
Well, if you look at it, Malcolm was a pirate. I mean,
well, yeah, but
yeah.
I mean, that's why I said the pirate code. But he doesn't. He puts all his effort into the feminine point of view, which is fine. And I'm not. There's nothing wrong with that. It's great.
Right.
Like what he did for Black Widow in Avengers.
The
first
Avengers
movie.
Right. Yeah.
Was awesome. She became. She was the only like real. Three-dimensional character until the end, until the third act.
Where she just was fighting?
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, when they introduced her at the beginning and her going
well,
after, but...
Her character compared to her character in Iron Man 2
mm-hmm.
is 100% better.
Right.
Because they didn't know what to do with her in Iron Man 2.
Well,
they were just trying to...
They were doing
the
wink-wink, nudge-nudge
yeah.
of...
Hey,
you know,
we're going to do an Avengers!
It's a joint universe!
Yeah, she's going to be in it!
Hey, look!
In Avengers, I enjoyed her character. In Avengers Age of Ultron, I can't say that I enjoyed her character so much. Because they debilitated the character by making her not able to reproduce because of what she went through.
Well,
when,
but that's part of the you know...
The Red
comic,
Sparrow program.
The, well,
Black
the Red
Widow,
Room.
Yeah,
the
yeah,
Red Room.
Red Room, all that.
So that's part of that.
But
and
the thing with that is we didn't need a romance between her and Bruce.
Oh, absolutely not.
Yeah. And it's like that was forced.
That was Willow and Xander, or not Willow. That was Xander and Cordelia.
Yeah.
That's what
yeah,
that relationship
kinda, yeah.
was.
Yeah. And I mean that. And it's like I was sitting there thinking, like, what if the Russo brothers would have done this movie? Civil War would have started faster
yeah.
because I mean, there's parts where, you know, Thor picks up Tony by the throat.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, why did he, like, you know, what, you know, 1 minute we're enemies and the next minute we're friends. Everybody's giving everybody hugs.
It's really similar to another movie we watched last year. Justice League.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, yeah, because, like, Superman's trying to kill them.
Yeah.
He flies off and finds Lois, and all of a sudden he's like, all right, I'll go back and be friends with him.
I'm all right.
Oh, if I have
grew a mustache,
to.
I'm all right.
CGI out this mustache.
They
I'll go
totally
fight the
should
villain.
Have had it where he grew a beard when he first came out of that chrysalis.
Yeah.
And he had a beard, and that mustache would have been there, and it would have been fine. And, you know, then all the Superman stuff. Like, he shaved it off.
Oh, but he could have done it with, like, the piece of the ship with the Krypton,
exactly.
Like, in the Steve Byrne.
Yeah. But my hate of Ultron isn't, like, hate. It's just dislike. And, you know.
For me, it's disappointment.
It's comparable to, like, you know, my dislike, disappointment of Iron Man 3. There's good parts in both of those movies, but on a whole, they are not good movies.
Iron Man 3 is, like, my fourth favorite Christmas movie.
Fourth?
It's a joke.
That would be, like, my tenth favorite Christmas movie.
I'm just kidding. So
it's Lethal Weapon with Iron Man is what it is.
It's exactly right. I mean, to the point where they're in a shipyard at the end being shot at.
Yeah, and blowing stuff up and, you know.
Well, you're also
the only thing that Don Cheadle didn't say. I'm getting too old for this shit. I wish he would have. If he would have said that, I would have been like, "This is the greatest Marvel movie ever."
Redeemed. All right. So, Captain America: The First Avenger, of every movie on this list, is probably the one I go back to most often.
Probably the best one.
It's not the best Captain America movie.
No.
That's Winter Soldier. But, and that's arguable, but, like, for me, it's Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
But the first Captain America movie, much like the first Iron Man movie, did so much to build this world up. And not only did it build the world, but it went back to 1940, whatever.
Right.
And set it up all the way back then and created and gave more color to the lived-in universe that Jon Favreau created in Iron Man.
Well, it opened up the doors where it was like, you know, they didn't know what they were doing with Iron Man.
No.
They say that. They tell you that. You can see it in the movie. They had no idea.
Oh, the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where by the time they got to Captain America, it's like, well, we can go back and apologize for the stuff that we didn't know we were doing. And they did. And I mean, the stuff with his father.
With Howard and everything, yeah.
Yeah, so it was like, you know, that was perfect setup. And then to find out, you know, that his father created S.H.I.E.L.D. pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, cool, you know.
Way to go,
and
Howie.
And that helped build Tony's character from that point on.
Right.
That movie helped to build Tony's character from that point on.
And so I think as good a job as John did with Tony's character, Joss did that poor of a job.
Yeah.
And I think the Russos did a really good job in Civil War with him, making him that guy you kind of agree with but disagree with, or you're just like, man, Tony, you are wrong. You're on the wrong side of this.
Well, it's that argument that I said where the Russos did a better job of doing Age of Ultron, because that whole thing with Tony in Age of Ultron was, I want to protect the world.
Right.
I want to save the world. And that, which, you know, backfires on him. And it backfires on him in Civil War. It's that the same thing.
You're Team Cap.
Pretty much.
So, because Angel's Team Iron Man, she thinks Captain America is completely wrong for everything that he did. Because he knew that Bucky killed Tony's parents, but still protected Bucky.
Yeah.
Even though Tony was, you know, his friend.
Well, it's that whole thing where he's protecting both of his friends.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm not justifying it, but I understand why he did it. And that, whereas Tony didn't understand why he did it.
Well,
that's why the fight at the end of that movie happened.
Bucky didn't understand why he did what he did back then.
Well, right.
You know,
because
I mean,
he was programmed.
It wasn't him.
Right.
So it's like if I start saying dump truck, 42,
right.
Beehive, Cleveland, I'm going to turn you into the killing machine when I get to word 17
exactly.
there. But at the end, and I'm not going to tell everybody what the words are to turn you into
sure.
killing machine. But at the
I
end
would
of the
advise
day,
not to.
At the You won't like me when I'm a killing machine. Anyway, at the end of the day,
I won't even know who I am when I'm a killing machine.
He didn't know who he was.
Right.
And you know, yes, Tony had every right to be pissed off right. and angry and go after him the way he did. But when he says, I was your friend too, that's just putting way too much on Steve. And I think there's, in a lot of ways, a lot like Beast is a supervillain in the X-Men universe.
Right.
Even though he masquerades as a hero.
Yeah.
Tony, even in the comics, is supervillain-ish.
Oh, I've said, you know.
The whole Axis thing in the comics where he went bad watching, and then stayed
watching
bad.
Watching Age of Ultron, again, Tony is the Avengers' greatest enemies in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
What if he's a Skrull?
That would be awesome if they do that story, if the Fantastic Four shows up in Infinity War, because I think they are going to.
Okay, so here's my thought on this, and Kenny and I talked about this, and they need to get this signed and not tell anyone about it.
I think they already done this.
Krasinski and Emily Blunt show up to save the day as Mr. and Mrs. Fantastic.
I think it's already happened.
And I hope so, because that right there would be great.
I think that the Captain Marvel thing is going to tie into the Fantastic Four thing.
So when she's coming back to Earth, she's going to find them
or they're
something.
The reason she comes back because yeah. they know how to get her back.
So I think so. Here's what's problematic about the first family of Marvel
yeah.
in the MCU is they can't go back and retcon like, oh, they've been here the whole time fighting in New York City, right?
They can.
But what they can do is they can disappear them in the 90s
yeah.
into the negative zone.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They can retcon yeah. them and introduce them in Infinity War, have them in Captain Marvel as younger versions, yeah. the ultimate Fantastic Four sure. versions, and then have it where something happened, they disappeared, and now they're back.
Yeah,
they bought the tower
Yeah,
because Spider-Man Homecoming shows that the tower was sold to somebody. They bought the tower, and they've been there.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
And you could do the negative zone as the reason why they have their powers.
Why they've been gone.
Yeah.
Why they've been missing.
That they've been fighting Annihilus and, yeah. you know.
Or something.
That would be cool if they set it up where they were fighting Annihilus and they do a Fantastic Four movie and the first villain is not Doctor Doom. It's Annihilus.
I think. I still like my idea that you make John Boyega Doctor Doom and he was Reed's
student.
Oh,
I like that.
But I think you don't introduce Doctor Doom until like movie 3 or 4. With the Fantastic
You film. Introduce him like you did yeah. Thanos.
Right.
Where he shows up in the credits as, you know, my friends are back.
Yeah.
My friends are back from wherever they were.
So.
And that. And I mean, it shows him sitting in the throne room.
Is have made him Reed's student who Reed kept in check.
I think that it's just Reed's friend.
Well, okay, hold on. He's Reed's student who was kept in check and then Reed disappeared.
Yeah.
And like Dinosaurus. Uninvincible yeah. kind of yeah. went nuts without his, you know, guardian angel there to keep him in line.
Right.
I think that would be a cool way to do
but
it.
But I think that you tie it to the Wakandan part of it, where Latveria has been there and Wakanda and them have dealt with each other in a way where he stays in his country.
Okay.
But he only stays in his country because, you know, Reed's not around.
Sure.
Reed's his ultimate enemy.
Yeah.
So... But I think that would be cool, like John Boyega, English accent.
Right.
Maybe a little Transylvanian added in there somehow.
So, I mean, we're just, like, as you're hearing this, we're less than a week away.
Yeah.
Or it's this weekend, actually. No, it's a week. It's next week.
It's next Friday.
So, when
Thursday,
are you going?
Friday.
Did you get your tickets yet?
I didn't get tickets yet.
No. Okay. Because we're going Saturday morning.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know when I'm going.
I'm excited.
It'll be that weekend.
Like, I can't wait. I think this is going to be cool. I'm ready for the spectacle of it and seeing, you know, everyone.
Oh, yeah.
And at the end of the day.
I'm hoping there's one thing I'm hoping for because of Civil War that maybe we'll get a little bit more explanation of is when Winter Soldier was fighting Black Widow and she said, don't you recognize me? I'm hoping that there might be some explanation to that.
I also want to know why his ring stopped his hand from grabbing Bucky by the robot arm. Like, I want that to be kind of maybe explained. Because, like vibranium can fight vibranium.
Right.
We saw that with Killmonger and Black Panther.
Right.
But that arm was made out of something that...
Adamantium.
Adamantium. Well, I mean, but then adamantium didn't exist in the MCU. So, I mean, it probably can now.
Well, you could say that adamantium existed, but nobody ever mentioned it.
And speaking of adamantium, there was an article came out that... the Phoenix, Dark Phoenix,
yes,
is going to be the last of the X-Men movies with that. They're not doing anything else. So okay. They didn't say, well, so, but that's supposed to come That's supposed to come out before New Mutants.
Yeah, but damn.
Does that mean New Mutants isn't going to happen?
It ain't happening.
You don't think?
I don't think it's happening.
Because they went back to New
Mutants.
You're
not going to get a Gambit movie now.
Oh, no, you're not getting
Gambit.
You're not getting the Gambit movie.
You're not
anyway.
Getting the New Mutants movie. Yeah. It'll be a direct-to-DVD release.
I don't think they'll release it at all.
They might. They might release it just as a direct-to-DVD and say, this just is something that was made. Just
change the name.
I was hoping that we would have got Age of Apocalypse, like the alternate universe and that.
With this cast?
With this cast, because this cast was a good, solid cast.
I think, yeah, I think Ty Sheridan was a great choice for Cyclops. I think Sophie Turner could really grow into Jean Grey.
Yeah.
Because she took, I mean, obviously she was a little girl when she started playing Sansa.
Right.
But as she got older to, you know, to where she is now.
Well, the Dark Phoenix would have been like something to see her play. Mm-hmm. And I'm just, you know, it's like the idea that introducing a new Wolverine would have been a good way to do that with Age of Apocalypse.
Sure.
Because you could have shown the alternate version of him.
Dokken.
And no, I'm just, you know, that's a good story to go into and bring Apocalypse back. I mean, you know.
Give Oscar Isaac a fair shake.
I was going to say, for all the like groaning and moaning about that, I think Oscar Isaac did a really good job as Apocalypse.
Yeah.
I just think that they got the execution of the makeup was not as good as it could have been.
I think the execution of makeup.
He didn't need to be purple. He needed to be pale.
Yeah.
He needed to be like a ghost looking and with purple armor.
Right. And I think that
we've been all over the place in this.
Well,
episode.
I mean, but it's kind of what Infinity War is.
You know, Well, and that's the thing is I'm hoping that maybe we will get Hugh Jackman.
I don't think we will.
I don't think we will, but I was hoping for like Hugh Jackman just to like
he's
pop
been
him,
too,
fight
he's
the
been
Hulk,
too
and be
busy,
gone.
You know, of a thing.
You know.
Plus,
I'm satisfied with Logan being the last Hugh Jackman Wolverine thing.
That's the note to go out on.
Yeah.
So,
who's in the Hulkbuster armor?
I think it's Pepper.
You think it's Pepper?
I do.
I think it's Bruce.
We were talking about that before we started. Okay, so we haven't talked about this. We were talking about this pretty much the whole time right up until we turned the microphones on.
Yeah.
You think that Bruce and the Hulk are going to get split?
No, I don't think that. I think that Bruce is going to think he can't turn back into the Hulk because of the whole conversation he has with Thor and Ragnarok.
That if he turns again, he won't go
back.
If he
turns back.
But he turned in Thor Ragnarok, and so he's obviously turned back into Bruce.
The thing is like he's afraid of the Hulk. I don't know. I like the idea of Pepper in that Hulkbuster armor.
See, I think it's Pepper because they have to do something for Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah.
And
maybe it's
whatever,
Shuri.
Whatever you say about Iron Man 3.
Maybe it's Shuri.
But whatever you say about Iron Man 3, like, that was the best arc they gave Pepper.
Well, yeah.
That was the only time I liked Gwyneth Paltrow as, that's not true. I liked her in the first one as Pepper Potts.
Right.
The second one, it was the whole will they, won't they thing. And then the third one was the, they're together, he gave her a big dumb bunny, she was pissed off.
Yeah. They developed that character much more in 3 and that the weaknesses of 3 have to do with the Mandarin and all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
You know? And it was Lethal Weapon with Iron Man armor.
Cuz he was suicidal.
They killed his wife.
They killed his
pretty
wife.
Much. Yeah. You know, they killed his wife and that's when he cut loose.
Yeah.
And Don Cheadle was there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, you know, so I don't know. Iron Man 3 has good parts to it. Age of Ultron has good parts to
it.
They
all do.
They all have good parts to them. On a whole, there's certain things about them that is not right. But, you know.
Okay. So, so we're in Cincinnati. What's your favorite pizza in Cincinnati? Is it La Rosa's?
No.
What is it?
I don't have one anymore.
Well, just like, okay. So, say
if I was going to pick a pizza to order right now, probably Snappy's.
Okay. So, like, Winter Soldier, Civil War, Black Panther, you know, Guardians, that's like Snappy pizza, right?
Sure.
And then, like, Ant-Man and Doctor Strange and Guardians 2 and Spider-Man, that's like Donato's pizza. It's still really good.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get down to, like, Iron Man 3, Iron Man 2. Thor of the Dark World, Ultron, and that's like Cassano's, right? It's not good pizza, but like it fills that pizza need, But it's not bad pizza either.
I've never had Fasano's.
Okay. Well,
yeah, that's more of a Dayton pizza.
So anyway, it's not bad. Or like, it's like Cece's.
Is that
right?
What you're saying? It's like Dayton. You did Little Caesars.
No, because Little Caesars is actually.
What's Little Caesars? Justice League?
No. Justice League is like the generic market pantry.
Oh, Kroger
wants
pizza.
I was going to say at Target.
Yeah.
But yeah.
The Kroger pizza's in the box.
Anyway. But yeah,
if you cook them right, they're okay. But if they're not cooked right, yeah, that's what you get.
Anyway. All right. Well, hey, on that note, we are.
We didn't play the commercial.
Yeah, I wasn't going to play it this week.
Damn. Did you think this was going to be a long one?
No, I thought it was going to be a shorter one than it actually was. And I actually realized that I made a mistake in the commercial because I start talking about IDW comics and I meant to mention Lock and Key.
Yeah.
And I just said IDW comics. It's great. You'll love it. It's one of my favorite books.
Oh. Okay.
But I totally glossed over Lock and Key in my script. So I need to re-record it.
Okay.
But yeah, go to comixology.com.
I got one thing to say.
Use the code Infamous and you get $5 off.
Happy birthday, Superman.
Yeah. Oh.
80 years.
Okay. We have a few minutes.
Yeah.
So Superman, 80 years. We both put the 1,000th on our list.
Sure.
Did you ask for all the covers?
No,
or
no.
Did you ask for one in particular?
I just want to read the story.
So now have you been, you
have,
if
I have a choice of the covers, I'm getting that Mike Allred cover.
Yeah. So the Jim Lee one is the only one that's not sold out. In the blank.
You mean at Diamond?
Yeah, at Diamond.
Oh, okay.
So I think that's kind of interesting.
The Jim Lee one was overprinted.
Well, I think they also thought people were going to want the Jim Lee one more than they do. So I've been keeping up with Action.
Okay.
Well, I mean, when I say keeping it up, I have 5 months worth of Action that I'm going to go pick up this weekend. But
that's funny. I'll be there this weekend.
Yeah.
Hey.
Shocker. Oh, and then I'm going to wait for Jeff. Come back.
Oh, okay.
So, anywho's cool. I'm excited for this. I've really been enjoying Superman in the Rebirth stuff.
Yeah.
Action's been a good book. The Ozzy,
but this isn't
Madea's
the Superman
thing.
That was at the beginning of Rebirth.
No,
this is the
That's
Superman from the
yeah.
alternate universe.
So, and they're bringing the Red Trunks back. They're, you know, they're doing.
So my thing with Action Comics is. I have every 100th issue.
Yeah. Okay.
So I have.
You have 100, 200,
600.
300.
Oh. I don't have 100. No, I couldn't afford 100. I couldn't afford 200 or 300 either. I think I have 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and I'll have 1,000.
Nice.
So those are the only Action Comics I think that I've kept over the years.
Okay.
Plus, you know, favorite stories and that type of stuff.
Right.
But, you know, I think with Superman, it's just one of those things where it's kind of cool to have an Action Comics 1,000.
Right.
It's like, you know.
I'm kind of bummed that John Byrne's not involved with it.
I don't think they even asked him.
He said they didn't.
Yeah.
So,
you know.
Which is, it's just weird.
John Byrne's kind of weird. So.
Well, he is totally weird. But I think he's also.
Plus, they didn't want him to just take. The Superman movie and chop it up and Photoshop it into the comic book.
Yeah, but they did that with 10 Seasons of Smallville. They did that with Superman Returns. They chopping up the Superman movie and
over
again.
I meant what he does now with the Star Trek book and IDW. Yeah, he just takes the TV show and chops it up and Photoshops it in the stories.
All right.
I don't know what's happened to John Byrne, but, you know, whatever.
They get old. They got to retire at some point. They keep pulling
him
out for the name.
He's not retiring, though. He's just
Photoshopping
books.
They need to say, hey, you know.
Draw a book once in a while.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I liked when he was drawing Star Trek books because he has a distinct style and it looked cool with Romulans and Klingons and that.
Yep.
You know, unless he's like his hands don't work the same anymore.
Who knows?
But it's like nobody's ever said. So.
All right.
That's the only person that was left off the list that's alive.
Yeah.
Was John Byrne.
Right.
Did Grant Morrison do anything?
Yeah, he did something.
Okay, well, then, you know, they got everything at that point. Then.
And then Bendis, I guess, closes it out.
Well, because it's starting a new story.
Getting into Action Comics number one.
Whoop-dee-doo. Whoop-dee-doo.
Anyway. All right.
I wouldn't have put Bendis on Superman.
I agree with that. I told you, Bendis should have been put on Booster Gold.
Green Lantern.
I think Green Lantern would work, too.
I think that would have been cool.
Well, he's on like three books already.
Wow.
See, DC's going to make the same mistake that Marvel did with
Have him write everything?
And he's going to start
writing
everything.
And bring Dan Slott in to write what he's not writing?
I'm looking forward to Dan Slott's Fantastic Four, so.
I'll pick up the trade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll get the first issue and check it out.
More trades on a lot of this stuff anyways.
Yeah.
It's just not, you know, not worth it.
Yeah. All right.
And it's storage and all that type of stuff, so.
Cool. All right. Well, on that note, any last words?
I don't have any.
All right. Well, we will see you guys next week.
Later.
The Infamous Podcast is recorded in Kings Mills, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati. You can find new episodes every Friday on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, our website, or anywhere podcasts are downloaded. The show is hosted by Johnny Podorf and me, Brian Tudor. Our music is Moose from bensounds.com. You can find more information out about the show by visiting us online at infamouspodcast.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Infamous Podcast. There you can stay up to date with the latest news about the show and what's going on in the world of comics, movies, TV, and more. We also have a Patreon page. That's patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We have some great rewards for our patrons, and we're looking for help to grow the show so we can bring you more of the content you want to hear. You can find Johnny on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as @JohnnyPodorf, and I'm on most social networks as @BrianTudor. So whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is, and we'll see you soon. Thanks for listening. Later.